Craig and Patty.
Beautiful song.
Great, great truth. Amen. Two familiar portions of Scripture. Genesis 2, we certainly have heard preaching about that. Hebrews 9, obvious what they both have in common. And I want to talk to you about our topic. Well, our topic for this month, we're on a time for learning, a time for learning. We've been talking about for such a time as this in 2013, and that's been our theme. And for the month of August, a time for learning. And today we're learning about mortality. Now, don't let that word scare you. Did anybody notice what these two portions of Scripture have in common? Anybody want to guess what they have in common? What? Death, all right? And that's what mortality is. It's death. It's talking about death. And I want to talk about that this morning, learning about mortality. Again, that is a word that means we are mortal. Everybody in this room, we're mortal. We die. And so I want to talk about that this morning as we kind of start off our August. We had to go into August with our July theme about serving last week. So we're going to start off August learning about mortality. Father, I pray that you will use the message today to challenge our hearts as we think about our mortality, as we think about death. And not a pleasant subject, not a fun subject, and yet for the believer, you said that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I cannot think of a better thing today than to be present with our Lord. So please speak to us today. And if there's someone here today who does not know Jesus as Savior, God, I pray that they'll be saved today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are mortals. And simply that means that we die. Everybody, our bodies are mortal anyway, and so our bodies die. We die. And, most of us here have been to a funeral at one time or another. How many of you have ever been to a funeral? All right? Good. See, some people still won't never raise your hand in church because that means I'm after your wallet or after your time or something. But I'm always curious. I did not go to many funerals when I was a child. I remember one funeral. I think I was 5 years old when my great-grandfather died, and I went to the funeral. The only thing I remember about the whole thing, I do remember the casket, but the thing I remember the most is afterwards we went to a restaurant, and I had a grilled cheese sandwich. And I do remember that. And, things that are precious to us, we remember. And I do remember the grilled cheese sandwich. But as a child, I don't remember ever going to another funeral. In fact, the next funeral that I remember was the first funeral that I preached. And I had just been a pastor for a short time when my sister-in-law, Brenda's sister-in-law, and mine by marriage, when she was 22 years old, she died of cancer. And I remember that. It was my first funeral that I preached. Hadn't been to many funerals, and preached her funeral, having led her to the Lord and baptizing her 2 weeks before she died. And we had a beautiful service, a wonderful service, and God spoke to many hearts there. But again, there was death, very, very obvious. It was tough because 22-year-olds aren't supposed to die. Yes, we don't think that that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't think that a little baby is supposed to die, and yet I've done several funerals for little babies. I've done several funerals for small children. I've done many teen funerals and many, many services for those who under 60 years old. We just don't expect that. And yet, the truth of the matter is, we can die at any time. We are mortal. We die. Our bodies die. And so you have a funeral. You go to a funeral home. Went to a funeral home just a week and a half ago. Our neighbor's father died. and went to the funeral home and watched and saw people passing by a casket and looking at the body of that person that they knew very, very well. The body has died. And that is mortality. Now, the thing about that is that when our bodies die, our souls have to go somewhere. They have nowhere to live anymore because the body has died. And, you know, we understand all that as being death. Truth of the matter is, we really don't like to talk about it very much. That's why God has to remind us several times in Scripture, and especially he has to remind us that it is appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. Our bodies are going to die. And you say, preacher, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't like that. Well, we need to know it. We need to think about it because of the words that come after that in Hebrews 9, after this, the judgment. In other words, as Brother Storm was talking about our lives just kind of clicking off, and year after year our lives click off, and we're doing this and we're doing that, and all these kind of things are happening, which is what we call our life. When we die, there's nothing else to do. It's done. And what you did is done. And the Bible says in Amos chapter 4, prepare to meet thy God. And if you're not prepared, you are in a good place today to get prepared to meet your God. It's like the Pearsons just saying, he came to me. Hey, man, I remember years ago, the big there was a promotion that was out. I found him. I found it. I found it. And that is not what salvation is. He finds us. Right. He finds us. And he searched for me and found me. I wasn't looking for him at all. I was doing my own thing. But I'll tell you what. When he found me, he found a sinner that was on his way to hell. And thank God he didn't just find me. He told me what I had to do so that I could be saved. And he wants you to know how to be saved if you've never done that today. He wants you to be saved. But see, everybody has an appointment. And our mortality, the fact that these bodies die, there's an appointment for when that's going to take place for everybody in the room. Now, unless the rapture takes place, and the Bible says we'll just go, amen. If it doesn't, these bodies are going to die. In fact, from the time you're born, your body starts to die. Some of us are feeling it, amen. I mean, you know, you're feeling it now, and that body is just, you know, but we fight it all the time. We buy potions, we buy vitamins, we buy elixirs and drugs, and I mean, we're doing everything we can keep this old body going, right? You know, why? Well, because I don't want to die. I just want to keep this body going. Well, the truth of the matter is, and the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Nothing we can do about it. When it's time, it's time. When it is that appointed time. As much as we don't like it, as much as we try to avoid it, as much as we take pills and vitamins and all kinds of things, the truth of the matter is, when that time comes, because we're mortal beings, when that time comes, our body dies. And I want to give you some thoughts about that as we are spending a time for learning and talking about mortality, the fact that we die. And I want to just give you some things this morning that just to keep us thinking that one of these days, it's very interesting. Brother Storm talked about the same thing. You know, he talked about his ministry, but then, his last few minutes, he's just focusing on, look, one of these days, you're going to die. And then you stand before God. One of these days we will, you know, everything will be done. Our life, it'll be past, and years, it could be many years, it may be few years, but it'll all be done. And then the body dies and the soul, it goes on. But that old body, it just dies because we're mortal beings. Some thoughts about that. Number one, the catalyst of death. The catalyst of death. Now, you'll understand why I wanted to talk about this first. It is appointed by God that this body, it dies sometime. There's an appointment. God has it on his calendar in heaven. Someday this body, unless Jesus comes, this body will die. And there are catalysts, though, that I guess I should say a catalyst is that which stops the body from functioning. You say, why don't you use cause? Well, I'm going to talk about the cause later on, that's why. And so the catalyst is whatever it is that will stop the body from functioning, okay? Some folks, it's going to be an accident. Could be a car wreck. Could be, you're on, I don't want to mention things because people will be scared to do it then, but it could be you're flying and a plane crash. Could be you're riding a ride. That's happened a couple times here recently. Just riding rides in an amusement park, and, you know, they're making them bigger and bigger and faster and all those kind of things. My assistant, you've heard me give this illustration before of my best friend and my assistant there in Bern, Indiana, killed in a car accident right in front of our church on a Sunday night after about 11 o'clock at night on their way home after going to eat apple pie at a church member's house. And now some of you will say, I'm never going to eat apple pie after church again. And it had nothing to do with it. God had an appointment. Do you understand? There was nothing he would do to get out of that appointment. It was God's time for his body to die, and it was taken in an accident, in a car wreck. How many know somebody who died by way of accident? Raise your hand if you know that. All right, many of you. I'm amazed how many hands went up. Just an accident. And normally we answer the phone, it's like, oh, I just can't believe that happened. How could that happen? The church bus in Indianapolis, Indiana, Colonial Hills Baptist Church, and the pastor's son and wife, the pastor's son and his wife, youth directors, and the group just had a great time right up here in Michigan at Camp Kobiak, and coming back from camp, and that bus, just like that. And three people killed. That's all I've heard so far. Some teens were in critical condition. I'm just saying, and you get the call, and you say, how could this? Well, God has, there's an appointment, and the body dies. Now certainly, there's a young man and his wife, and they're in heaven now, and they're having a wonderful time in heaven, but again, it's reality, folks. It's what happens. We die. The catalyst, one catalyst, is certainly an accident. For many, it's a health issue. For many, it's a health issue. I've had two deacons who have died of a heart attack. Just unbelievable. How could this happen? One was in his 40s. The other one had just turned early 60s. My own father died of emphysema, health issue. Couldn't breathe. I mean, I remember being by his bedside and watching him gasp, trying to get air, and he died of that health issue. My mom, as I've testified many times, died of Alzheimer's disease. And very, very peaceful for her, very tough for us, very peaceful for her. She just forgot. And I believe the brain just forgot how to keep everything going. But again, she died because we are mortal. For many, it's that cancer word. We don't even want to talk about it. We don't even want to think about it. I know folks that do not go to the doctor, Brother Storm, just because they don't want the doctor to tell them. Oh, we've found, and we all cringe when we hear those words. Well, there's a mass here. There's a lump here. Oh, we have found something. There's a shadow on this, and it's like, oh, I don't want to hear this. But it's because our bodies die, and we are mortal, we die. And so health certainly is one of the ways of dying. The Bible talks about Hezekiah. He had a health issue, health problem, and he died of that problem. How many of you know somebody who's died because of a health, just their health issue? All right, hands up everywhere. For many people, it's cancer. We have murder is a way people die. Somebody takes somebody else's life. Suicide is certainly a way, but somebody has taken a life. Abortion has taken many lives. Too many lives. Millions of lives have been taken because of the murder of abortion. The Bible talks about John the Baptist. His head was cut off. Somebody took his life. But again, understand, it is because our bodies die. The means of death, whether it was a car accident, whether it was a health problem from inside, whether it was somebody else, a murderer or something like that, the death is still the same. And then, of course, there are folks who just grow old. You just grow old and your body just eventually wears out. And we don't like to compare it to an old bus or an old car. But I mean, literally, that is, we have one out there that it's just done. We've seen that many, many times, you know. And you put Band-Aids on them long enough, and you repair this and repair that, and pretty soon it just says, and it's done. And it did. And, you know, but that happens. Both of my grandparents, you know what? They had different health problems, but they didn't die of all those health problems. They just quietly died. I watched Grandpa, and Grandpa, they said there's nothing wrong with him. I mean, he's nothing that's taking his life. He's just wore out. Grandma the same way. And you know, Moses the same way. You know, I want to do this, and but understand. We die. The body that we have dies. You say, oh, they're working on... I know scientists are working on things. They're working on ways to kill us. They're working on ways to keep us alive. Yeah. Trust me. It's all in the picture. But again, you know, you look at all these things, and these are the catalysts of death. These are the means that stop our body from functioning. Death is brought on many, many, many different ways. And I don't know about you, my wife reads the obituaries all the time, just see if she knows anybody or anything like that. I personally try to avoid obituaries. And, you know, I might look at the pictures just to see if I know anybody. But there are any number of ways, and nothing really should shock us when a body dies, because we are mortal. Number one, the catalyst of death. Number two, the consequences of death. Well, our bodies cease to function, so our soul has nowhere to go. That's pretty easy, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like if your house burns down, you got to go somewhere to live, right? You know, if my body ceases, then my soul has to go somewhere. And, you know, that is such an easy, easy thing to understand. Body dies, soul has to go somewhere. What's another consequence, though? Here's something right here. Look at Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. A lot of things could have been written down here, but I just want to, again, give us all a reminder of our mortality. You know, we have this idea, well, you know, it's just going to go on and on and on and on and on and on, but your body isn't. Your work on earth, it isn't. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, and again, it's so interesting how God puts Brother Storm here, and he talks about the same kind of thing. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know, I mean, there will be the day this voice will preach its last sermon on this earth. There will be a day that Brother Storm's hand will twist a wrench for the last time. There will be a day that a bus driver, it'll be the you'll set that parking brake and you'll get out of that bus and it'll be the last time. Do you understand? That day will come. There will be a day. It'll be the last time you knock on somebody's door to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. There will be a last time because the body, the Bible's very, very clear that in the grave, okay, you can knock all you want. Nobody's going to answer. Okay, the body's dead because we're mortal. You see? And so death, a consequence of death, our body ceases to function, but it ends our work here on this earth. It's over. Done. Finished. Whatever you did, that's what you did. Whatever you did, you can't undo. Whatever you did, it's all written down. It's all done. It all goes through the fire, the Bible says. And wood, hay, stubble, that all burns up. Gold, silver, precious stone, that remains for the Christian. Consequences of death. It ends our work here on this earth. But notice this, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. Here's something else that ends. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. A lot of things end, of course, but these are just some things that the Bible talks about. It says this in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You've heard people say it. I've said it before. You don't see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It just doesn't happen. And so all the things that we accumulate, Brother Storm talked about China and fancy depression ware and all these fancy dishes. And in my mom's case, she had all these salt and pepper shakers. She had a whole collection. I mean, every kind of way to distribute salt and pepper you could ever find. It was unbelievable. And everything orange that was on the face of the earth my mom had. And you have family members like that. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, none of it went with her. I remember my mom, there was a day that she was collecting rocks from every state. Now, don't elbow your wife, sir, or anything. I mean, if they do, God bless them. Hallelujah. We love them. And anyway, my mom collected rocks. She had a rock from everywhere. She had a rock from Hawaii. And mom collected rocks, and she tried to get as big a rock as she could. And I still can remember her fountain and her rocks all around the fountain. And every time mom moved, guess who got to move the rocks? Now, I'm not talking about mom, you know, you can always, no, these are my rocks. I remember moving mom's rocks to Florida, and I remember moving them from Florida. They took, her rocks were not only in, they not only were from every state, they traveled in every state. I mean, you've heard of dumber than a box of rocks. Mom had the box of rocks. Boxes of rocks. She had it was a huge planter thing around her beautiful fountain that she had to have. And the rocks went everywhere. But guess what? There's somewhere they didn't go. They didn't go with her. Now, mom's in heaven. I know that. I believe that with all my heart. Know that. I know mom got saved. Mom got baptized. And mom sang in the choir with me as her pastor. Before she died and before she had Alzheimer's disease. But you know, I've often laughed about, can you imagine telling the funeral director, we're going to have to put these rocks in the casket? No, but even if they went in the casket, what's that mean? It just means they're underground because they didn't go with her. Do you understand? The only thing here on this earth you can take with you is souls. Think about it. All the things that we have. I have some things. I have some things that I actually like and enjoy but I'm not going to take. I can take my son with me. I can take my daughter with me. I can take people I lead to the Lord. I can take some of you with me. But all the things I kind of like this tie. I haven't worn this tie in a while. I kind of like it, but it isn't going to heaven with me. I have a lot of nice ties. I have way too many ties. But none of them are going to go with me. You say, oh, preacher, your wife will put them in. But that's in the casket. That's this body, it's going to be real nasty. You say, it's pretty nasty now. It's getting nastier every day. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, a consequence of death is it ends our need for possessions. Amen. Yeah. It ends our need. You know, I don't know about any of you men, I have some mad money. I call it mad money. I learned that from my mom. My mom used to take, she'd have some cash in the house, and she actually learned a hiding place. It was really a smart hiding place, and she called it cold cash. She'd get a little Tupperware container, and she'd wrap her money in foil, make it look like a sandwich, and she'd put it in that little container and put it in the refrigerator, the freezer. Nobody ever thought to steal it. Of course, nobody stole anything. But the point is, you know what? All that cash, it didn't go with her. You say, what happened to her cash? What do you think happened to her cash? My sister and I took it. That's what happened to her cash. I still remember when my dad died. I'll never forget. It was one of the hardest things. I mean, my dad's wallet was my dad's wallet. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, your dad, that's dad's wallet. And I remember when my dad died, my sister had dad's wallet, and I just kind of stared. I was nervous. And again, I was a pastor of a church. I mean, we're not talking about kids. We were adults. And she took his wallet, and she pulled the money out of his wallet. It's just my sister and I. And she gave me half. And I felt, wait a minute, that's dad's money. But he didn't take it with him. Right. He didn't take any of his credit cards. He didn't take any of the bills either. I'm just saying, when our bodies, which are mortal, when they die, it ends our need for money, possessions, checking account, retirement account, Social Security, which that may be ended anyway. All of that is gone. Now, consequences of death. It ends our work. It ends our need for possessions. But here, what happens to an unsaved person? Okay, this is going to happen. Your body will die. If you're here without Jesus Christ, your body dies. Your soul has to go somewhere. Oh, you say, I've always heard that I'm just going to, I've been religious and I'm going to go. No, that's not what happens. In fact, Luke 16 gives us a good illustration of what happens when a lost person, an unsaved person, dies. Luke 16 and verse 22, it says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and so his body was buried. But where did he go? Well, the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Who? The rich man. Where's his body? Well, his body's been buried, but his soul left his body, and his soul went somewhere, and the Bible says it went to a place called hell. And it's not a fun place. It's not a party place. It's not a pleasant place. It is a place, the Bible says, is a place of torments. It doesn't say torment. It says torments. And he begs for just a drop of water. Because the Bible says he was tormented in a flame. Now, there are so many today that say, oh, that's just being figurative. It doesn't really mean that. If God didn't mean that, God wouldn't have said that. Right. And for the unsaved person, I'll explain why here in just a minute, their soul goes to hell. We have services for unsaved people just like we would have for a saved person as far as the casket, as far as the flowers, as far as the invitation or the little cards that people fill out. The services are the same. People cry. People say, we're going to miss you. People, maybe somebody will sing or somebody will get up and say something nice about the deceased. And the service will look just pretty much like a saved person. But please do not misunderstand, folks. The result is not the same. Because the lost person, my Bible says, goes to hell. The saved person, when they no longer have a earthly body, when it dies, and it will, the saved person, the Bible says, when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. The beggar died, present with the Lord. The rich man who was lost, he's in hell. Now, there's the difference. By the way, that's why we run buses. That's why we go soul winning. That's why we preach this. That's why in junior church, they're going to hear the gospel. That's why Vacation Bible School, we give out the gospel and saw 70-some people trust Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why at the fair, we're at the fair all week long, hour after hour after hour, because when the body dies, and it's the same for all of us, every human being, their body will die. Amen. The soul has to go somewhere. Number one, the catalysts of death, accident, health, murder, just growing old, consequences of death. Ends our work on earth. It ends our need for money. For the unsaved, the consequence, no body, the soul goes to hell. Consequence for the saved, nobody, the soul goes to heaven. That's a wonderful place too. I'm not encouraging you to try to go soon. I'm just saying, certainly not something we need to fear. Number three, though, is the cause of death, and that's what I really wanted to get to, and it is the main point. And honestly, it's not very long. It's just the cause of, you say, well, you already talked about that. You talked about an accident. That's not the cause of death. In fact, it's interesting, crime labs all across the nation, they have become very, very sophisticated. And I mean, it is amazing some of the things that they can find out with DNA and with different test equipment and that. The computers, the technology is amazing today because they want to establish the cause of death. Now, some people, it's very obvious, as they look at it and all that. But I mean, they are so sophisticated. And yet, Brother Storm, they're just about always wrong. Yeah. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, these people know what they're doing. Oh, they're some of the best scientists in all the world that work in crime labs. And they have the best computers and all of that. It's amazing. Well, when they say the cause of death, what do you mean they're wrong? Well, because it's not the cause of death. Well, yeah, but they said it was a bullet. Bullet didn't cause their death. Well, they were strangled. No, that didn't cause their death. Well, they drowned or they were burned up or it was old age maybe or maybe it was a sickness. No, the truth of the matter is none of that is that. Those are the catalysts. That's what brings about our bodies not functioning, but it's not the cause. The cause of death is the same for every human being. It is why we are mortal. It is why we die. What is it? It's very simple. It's a little three-letter word called sin. Sin, Romans 5 and verse 12, sin is the cause of death. If anybody were to be honest in the crime lab, which I know they wouldn't do this, and I know what they're looking for, and I understand that, but to be honest about it, if you believe your Bible, always, every time, whenever there is someone laying in a casket or on a cadaver, wherever they may be, and their body has ceased to function, there is only one cause for that body not functioning anymore. And my Bible says it is sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, talking about Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, every one of us, all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. James 1, verse 15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The cause, back to Genesis 2, our text, God said that was exactly what was going to happen. You read it, Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. I mean, Adam, you can have peaches, you can have pears, you can have orange, you can have any of this, any of the fruit, I've got it all for you. Anything you want, it is yours. But he said this very, very clearly. God said, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the moment they ate the fruit of that tree, death took place. That very moment. Immediate, spiritually, they died. Immediate. That was instant. Because the Bible is very, very clear. Their bodies didn't die, but they then began the process of death. You see, I believe with all my heart that God had created Adam and Eve to live. And they were living and they were having a wonderful time. But sin, they said, we'll do what we want to do. And the result was death. Spiritually, they died. Immediate. Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Before I got saved, I was dead spiritually. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Thank God. At salvation, I was quickened, made alive. You wonder why the world looks at us like we're weird and we're fruitcakes and we talk about serving God and oh, how I love Jesus. And we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. We teach the children, Jesus loves the little children. And they look at you like, you people are nuts. Do you know why they think that way? Because they're dead spiritually. Spiritually, it's the way I was before I got saved. That's why I thank God he found me. Thank God he found me. And you see, when man sinned there in the garden, he died spiritually like that, but his body then began to die and would die. I believe Adam and Eve before sin, I believe they were immortal. But then mortality after sin. Hey, you want to get mad at a funeral? You want to get upset because your loved one died? You want to get upset because the doctor told you have cancer? You want to get bent out of shape because you have some health problem? The doctor said there's nothing I can do. Hey, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at the doctor. Right. No, there's only one thing we should get mad at, and that is sin. Right. Sin. Sin bringeth forth death. I hear it all the time. Boy, you go soul winning, you've heard it. Soul winners have heard it. Somebody, you knock on their door, I don't want to talk to you. I don't care what church you're from. Sir, what have I done? You haven't done anything. But I'm mad at God. Why are you mad at God? Because God took my mom 20 years ago. It wasn't right. Well, God didn't take your mom. Oh, yeah, God took. She died. I'm mad about it. There may be somebody sitting here right now. You know, it was my child. It was my son, my daughter, my spouse, my grandparent, my parent, whoever it may be. Understand, my friend, it is not God that took that loved one. It is the cause is sin. It's always, don't, you're blaming the wrong person. The blame needs to go to that little three-letter word that we like to hug. We like to hold on to that little three-letter word. Oh, my sin. I love my sin. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at the doctor. And that many people, you know, the doctor says this, and I don't like that. It's not the doctor's fault. And it's not God's fault. It's that little three-letter word, sin. Sin. Sin is the cause. Death passed upon all men. And by the way, don't blame Adam either. Don't blame Eve either. A lot of guys, it's all Eve's fault. For that all have sinned. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Understand, sickness is not caused by God. It's caused by sin. Aging. Oh, I just don't know why God. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. You know, Adam had it made in the garden. And Adam, he's out there taking care of the garden and didn't sweat. He didn't prick his finger on a thorn. Everything's good. He's out there, didn't have to till up any weeds at all. It's all perfect. Everything's good. Hey, Adam, take care of the garden. Yeah, I'm going to have a pear. This is great. Yeah, no bugs. Didn't have to look at an apple and see a worm crawling in it. Nothing like that. No mosquitoes. No poison ivy. Nothing. He didn't have to. He didn't sweat. Had it made. Huh? Sounds good, doesn't it? Wouldn't it be great if you went to work and it wasn't work? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be great if you could put a T-bone on the table, cooked just right, and you didn't have to work? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, you just eat your meals, you do your thing, you enjoy the world that God gave. You can go see the Grand Canyon, and it costs you absolutely nothing, and it didn't take any work to make it happen. Next time you pay $5,000 for your vacation and all the food you ate and everything else, don't blame the travel agent. Blame sin. Next time you get off work and you're wore out and your feet have blisters on them and calluses and bunions and whatever else happens as we get older and you can barely get out of bed and you're sore and, oh, man, I can't believe that. And maybe you mowed the grass or you trimmed all the weeds and you can barely move. And don't get mad at anybody except for one thing, and that is the word sin, because that's what brought all that into our lives. Yeah, every inconvenience, every pain, every drop of sweat, all of that. Ladies, next time you give birth, don't get mad at God. Why did? No. God, listen, sin. But just sin. S-I-N. Yeah, but I love my sin. Well, you ought to get mad at your sin. We all ought to get mad at our sin. Hey, next funeral. Don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at the funeral director. Don't get mad at the doctors and the nurses and the hospital. Next funeral, instead of getting mad at any human being, get mad at sin. Because that is why we have them. Next time you're in the cemetery, boy, they're so peaceful and nice. And oh, you know, we go to the cemetery and we stand and we cry and all that. And nothing wrong with all that. But instead of, I just can't believe that drunk driver did this. I can't believe this happened. No, instead of get mad at sin. Because the cause of our mortality is sin. It's your sin. It's my sin. The cause of death. Sin. Number four, the categories of death. Unsaved, body dies and goes to hell. The word is separation from God. That's literally what death, what it is. Separation from God in a place called hell. Think about it. Here you've lived a life, the Bible says, having no hope and without God in the world. And all over today, all over, that is by far the majority of people, no hope without God. No hope without God. Oh, you say, hey, listen, we'd like to invite you to, I don't care about going to church. God hadn't done anything for me. No hope without God. And then they die without God. They will be separated from God in death by force, just as they were separated from God in life by choice. It's exactly how it works. In life, he forces no choice. In death, he gives no choice. You sit here, I don't need God. And I'm telling you something. You do need God. You need God to save your soul. But I promise you this, there will be a day, and I believe with all my heart, in hell today, right now, burning up, people are crying out, oh, God! And now they have no choice because they made their choice. Because once the body dies, it is too late. And in life, he didn't force them. In death, there's no choice. It's too late. And a man ends up where he chooses in life, when he could choose. A saved person, death is compared often in the Bible with sleep. I'm not talking about soul sleep, because the soul doesn't sleep. But it's peace, it's rest, it's safe, it's secure. I've been with many people when they die. So far, only Christians, saved people. And it's so peaceful. Just like going to sleep. Yeah. And the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I don't know how many... And you know, and I'm just about done, but how many times you're talking to someone, they do you see Jesus, sir? No? Yeah, right there. You see the angels. It's like, wow. Yeah. That's how it is. Categories of death. There's just separation from God. And there's absent from the body, present with the Lord. I close with number five, and that's the cure. All the potions, all the vitamins, all the pills, all the therapies, all the oils, every kind of thing that's out there that we all try, you know. Oh, I'm looking for the fountain of youth, and yeah, I know. You know, listen to me. There's only one cure. There's only one cure for death, and it has nothing to do with the body. The old body, it's just going to get old. That's all. It is. Hair's going to fall out. Teeth are going to fall out. Everything's going to fall apart. Stuff's going to quit working. You know, it's just, that's the body. But there is a cure for death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, Brother Storm talked about this, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. It's a gift. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 10, I am come that they might have life as opposed to death in hell. I am come that they might have life. Look at John 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Boy, I love it. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Isn't that good? Never die. Oh, the body? Oh, yeah, it's gonna rot. But the soul. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because Jesus gave us the prescription very simply in John chapter 14. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I joined the church. Joining the church won't save you. Well, I got baptized. Getting baptized won't save you. Well, but I enrolled in a class. Enrolling in a class won't save you. Yeah, but I work in the church. Working in the church won't save you. Yeah, but I put money in the offering plate. That won't save you. When your body dies, your soul is guilty of sin. The only way to be saved is to trust Jesus Christ, who bore the guilt and your sin on himself when he died on the cross. Amen. That is the only way that you can be saved, is to say, God, I've sinned against you, and I'm asking you to save my soul. Amen. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a lot of catalysts. Chances are, we'll read about somebody we know this week, next week, within the next month or so. You'll get a phone call and pray for so-and-so's family. They just went to be with the Lord. It won't be long. We'll have a service here, and folks will come, and there will be a casket right here in the front, and flowers all around here, and folks will be crying. Some folks will be praising the Lord because they know that person's in heaven, and people will walk up, and I'll preach a message, and then I'll come down here and I'll stand, and folks will come by and they'll cry, and they'll have some Kleenex down here, and all of that will take place, and it's going to happen. But just remember this: for the saved person, they're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. If you are here today and you've never been saved, I beg you to come to Jesus today. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Call on him. I've sinned against you, God. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Please save my soul and get saved today. And Christian, from now on, you know, instead of looking for all these causes and everything, let's understand something. Sin is the cause of death. It's a cause of death, not only physically, not only spiritually, but it's the cause of death in every area of our lives. Everything we do, when there's sin, something dies. You ought to get upset at sin. We ought to get mad at sin. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.